You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. Leaving work in a mood? Time to change that with Overdrive.
We just talked about Brad Marchand. Like, he's not a big guy. I mean, Al is as tall as him. But he plays hard, and he's tough to play against.
Taking the pills for Al.
That's a straight fact, man.
It's a straight fact.
This isn't meteorologist takes. This is real science.
That's analytics.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Big afternoon. The Maple Leafs back in action tonight. We've got Craig Button in here. We haven't seen Craig. Well, we see Craig, but we haven't had him on with us in a while. Since pre-Vegas. It's like a new era since we've come home from Vegas. This is post-Vegas.
Can I tell you what? That was outstanding. I didn't know how it was going to play out. I knew you guys would have some fun.
No. I didn't know how it was going to play out either, Craig. And then 3 minutes before the ceremony, I got handed a basket with flowers in it.
See, you know that, though. But when you're
didn't know that. No, we had an email saying, guys, we were told we're not going to be what? Like, we're not going to be in the wedding party. So we're going to do something else. So we showed up. We didn't know what we're going to do. And then apparently you guys were handed the rings, and I got the flowers. So it was like...
But that's what I mean. You knew what was happening behind the scenes, but when you watch it, nobody knows. And I'm telling you, I was in Hawaii, and when I watched it, I said to my wife, you got to see this. This is brilliant. I thought, you throwing the rose petals out. Like,
I thought we...
You looked like an absolute pro.
Yeah. No, it wasn't his first rodeo. He claimed it was, but yeah. You've thrown a flower petal before.
No, I was actually anxious because, like, you try something new, it's like, I don't know. I literally thought, I don't know how to place these flowers, so I was like...
But did you see, just did it there. Those are the hands of a goal scorer.
Right.
Soft hands, knows how to get them right in the right position. Those petals were like, and they just fell.
Oh, they were like snowflakes. Yeah. By the time they hit the ground, they just...
they disappeared.
They disappeared. They just dissipated. Now, you're a real... he's a trailblazer is what he is. I think you're a trailblazer, yeah. If we're being honest.
All right, well, next time we ever do anything like that, you're doing it.
But I've got my job.
No, you. I'll take over
your
job.
I'm a ring boy.
No, you and Noodle. Me and Noodles will be ring bearers.
Fine, go ahead.
Yeah, you be the flower guy.
You are an inspiration.
You know how many text messages I got? Every conversation I had after that, it was like, every response was, okay, flower guy. Or flower girl. I'm right. Like, I told my fiance that I'm sick of people. People come up to me in public, they're like, whatever, flower girl. I'm like,
see, I would call you a petal boy.
That's very, I like that. Petal boy.
It's more flattering, isn't it?
Petal boy.
Can we have a poll? What should he be called?
Yeah, let's
start that. Should
that
be the Overdrive poll?
Flower boy or petal boy? Should there be a man in there? I think boy sounds better. It's more
just be careful whatever you pick nowadays.
Flower man? Yeah. You could be the flower man?
Flower man? Yeah. Flower person. Yeah.
You can't even say ladies' tees anymore, so it'll be forward petal person. we'll just go with that to keep everybody happy.
Who determined that you can't say that anymore? I thought that was just established that...
Because they didn't want to be insulted that it was a head, so it's forward tees now.
Okay.
So we'll go with forward petal person.
All right.
Or isn't that what they were used to be called, was forward tees? And then somebody started calling them ladies' tees? I think they were called forward tees.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Everybody always joke, like even every analyst in the book, you work at any highlight show, it's like steps right into the ladies' tees and puts it in the top shelf.
Yeah.
That's not flying anymore.
Not allowed anymore.
No.
Well, that's society, man. We're moving in a different direction. But flower boy, I think, is still acceptable in 2019.
Yeah.
It's just a fact. It's a straight fact. So get that poll going up on Twitter, at Overdrive 1050. I witnessed something today, and this actually speaks to where society is going as well, and different terminology. Someone was at the gym, and there are three squash courts in the gym, right? In the gym that I go to. It's one of these big kind of box store gyms or whatever. They got a basketball court, which is cool, which is usually where you find
me. It's more like a fitness facility.
It's a facility, exactly. Yeah. It's a whole compound. And this one guy was using a lacrosse ball, which is not what it always used to be called, but that's kind of what I'm getting to. Now, I'm pretty sure you can't use the term that it used to be called.
And a rubber handball?
Yeah. But remember, anyway.
An Indian rubber ball.
Okay. Yes, but I don't know if that's, again, that's not the appropriate term.
Dude,
anymore,
we didn't come up with a term. That's what it was called.
Okay, fine. Well, we didn't come up with ladies' tees, but apparently we're not allowed to use that either.
Okay, carry on.
So anyway, this guy is in full baseball garb, throwing the ball against the wall and chasing it down.
So is he an old school guy or is he a younger dude?
He's probably in his 20s. Like, oh, this so guy was like Happy
Troy
Tulowitzki. Yeah, it was Tulo basically trying to work out the bone spurs. Like, all I could think of is this guy is a real life version of a baseball form of Happy Gilmore. Like, somehow he got caught, you know, in like intermediate softball and he's got 364 days until next year's.
Dude, there's a 42-year-old fireman in Toronto that has an Instagram page and he wants to play pro hockey and he will not stop. I don't know if he ever will, but he is a legend.
Yeah.
He posts his own. Have you heard of this?
Yeah, I sure have.
And he posts his videos and it's just hashtag drive, hashtag want to do it, hashtag just do it.
He's 42 years old?
He's a 40. There was articles about.
Is he
about
a plug? Like, can he not play?
Dude, if you're a 42-year-old fireman in Toronto, Brian.
You're a plug.
No, you're not a plug. You're just not playing pro hockey.
Well, I know that, but would he even
stick
out immensely?
It's like you leaving work and just going to a rink and posting Instagram videos saying, hashtag never die, hashtag never quit, hashtag wanna play pro. And a scout will look at that and say, flush.
Well, is there a statute?
Well, you're 42.
I'm turning 43 on Saturday.
Okay, yeah. But you're 42, right? I was just doing the math in my head, right? I'm going, so, I mean, Jeff played in the NHL, was a really good player. Can he go right now and go play in the NHL? Have
probably
you played
not.
There? Yeah, well.
Probably
so
not.
I don't like the 42-year-old fireman's
no.
chances.
But is there a statute of limitations on a dream? Like, that's the question. Because does a dream have to die? Does someone have to get to you and say, you got to stop?
Yes.
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah.
I had to tell my best friend.
Yes, you do, yeah.
I had to tell my best friend, Craig. I was playing in the NHL, and every time he called me, the Liler, it was a different area code in the East Coast League. It went from Memphis to San Antonio to somewhere in Texas to California, Bakersfield, and then back to Memphis. And I finally called him, and I said, I think you got to think about, like, maybe, like, real-life stuff. Because you're making $500 a week. And I don't know what, like, but it's a tough conversation.
He was in his 20s and was actually like he was technically playing pro.
He was an OHL hockey player that was talented, but he did not have what it took to play anything above the East Coast League. And if you want to bomb around the East Coast for 10 years, you're going to wake up one morning, you're going to be 30, and you're going to be saying, I just pissed away 10 years of my life.
Right.
Where I could have been gotten it going on.
A lot of people do
that. You could have done it yourself, probably. You could have bombed around in some brutal leagues.
I could have played somewhere, I'm sure. There's a country in East Europe, I'm sure, that would have employed me. But yeah, you're right.
What's your heritage? Your genealogy?
Scottish, Irish.
Oh, okay.
Go over and play over in Scotland.
Well, they have like Division 2, 3, 4. Like,
I could probably still play in those leagues.
I don't know if I ever told you this story about Nick Antropov. So Kazakhstan was all the way down in the U18, like in Division 4. So we went over. The tournament was in Brussels, Belgium. Brussels. We went over there. I think they won their first game like 38-0. He had like 22 points. We just looked at each other and said, we're getting the hell out of here. Like, this is, so understand, like, Nick Antropov was the 10th overall pick, and they had to go down there. That was the year that
the Maple Leafs
at the World
took
Junior.
Them.
Yeah, but that was the year at the World Junior when they beat Canada. But you should have seen these teams.
Right.
Like, 38-0, like, I think they let up the second half of the game.
I hope so. Yeah. There's got to be a mercy rule at some point.
But you should see some of the teams that were in here, like Luxembourg.
What kind of talent would they be putting forth?
None. Zero. Like, they couldn't play.
Right. And then all of a sudden, Nick Antropov, 6 foot five, and out there with hands and doing work. Well, he made it in the end. That's the story, right? The scouts will find you.
Oh, it's so true.
Like, they always say that. If you're good enough, they'll find you. And it may seem like an impossibility at the time, but generally speaking, they do.
There's no way that gets missed.
Yeah. Like, the because isn't Mats, like, is Sundin from Stockholm? Like, is he from... I thought he
that
was found like
know.
Way up and because I've heard
Salming was way up north.
Okay, because I know I've heard stories about like Swedes in particular, like way up there.
At the end of the day, you're going to be on a club team. You're going to be on a club team where you're going to get noticed. And by the way, there's no sense of telling parents anymore. If your kid's good enough, they're going to find you. Because once they find you, the parents get more involved now than ever, and they're just more of a pain in the ass right up until they make the NHL. Well, so I stopped saving my... I don't even tell parents that anymore.
Let me just say this, Jeff, okay? Okay. What they don't understand is the vast majority of them don't make the NHL, and a lot of them don't stop being pains in the asses.
Well, not
the pyramid's real simple. You got top kid. Jeff, how many first round picks from your OHL draft year played in the NHL, had a career? Like, I can pretty much tell you that less than half of them have a career. We're not talking about, they're all first round picks. Less than half of them,
if you want to talk about cup of tea is one thing, but a career, no, not
like
a
how
lot.
Many teams were in the O when you were playing?
16?
16 teams.
Yeah. There were 20 when I was there.
Yeah.
And there actually was a fair amount from our year, surprisingly, but not
the first round. So a couple of years ago, I forget what draft year it was. 7 of the first 10 guys drafted in the first round were never drafted in the NHL.
Wow.
But forget about a career. Were never drafted.
Right. So, I mean,
you're a first-round pick in the OHL, and 2 years later,
game over.
Right. That's wild. But that's the reality. I mean,
that's where it's very difficult because you're a first-round pick to the OHL, and I kind of paid attention to school. I'm like, I got to go to school. I got to do this. But in the back of my head, I'm thinking, a couple years down the road, I could be in the NHL. And I was lucky because it paid off. It worked. But there is a zillion kids that are like, you know what? Screw school. I don't need to go to school. And they end up screwing themselves.
I've got to ask you a question because I was just talking to somebody about this today. You both could answer this. So now we see the younger players getting to the NHL sooner. And we're seeing the money. So that trickles. My question to both of you is, that has to trickle down where 14 or 15-year-old kids are fully aware of that now.
Oh, my
God. And they're looking at that. This is a career now, right?
Yeah. And I think there's some parents that actually might take an early retirement to do whatever to help their kids, saying, I don't need to work. This is probably the end of the line for my guy. And they see these $100 million contracts or $50 million contracts. Why would I work?
Well, and that's another thing that I think has changed.
I was talking to somebody today down at the rink. I was at the morning skate. NHL parents nowadays are at more of their kids' games than ever before. Ever. My parents would come to see me play in Toronto. Maybe the odd trip to Buffalo. Maybe Ottawa. They aren't flying out to Arizona to watch a game. They're not going to LA and then following the team to San Jose and then off to Anaheim. They're just not doing it. These parents nowadays, they're almost at every game. Mm-hmm. It seems like it anyway.
And I don't know this, but I wouldn't be surprised if the players are probably paying for it. Like, you got but some of them come from money. Like, Zach Hyman comes from, I don't know, is Hyman paying for everything? I don't know.
I think nowadays,
there's
Brian,
some families that have money.
You can't play the game unless your parents have money. It's not even possible.
Okay, so then why does the NHL player have to pay for the parents to fly to whatever city they're going to? If they have the money, why are you telling your kid to do it?
Maybe it's just a courtesy thing. I don't know who pays to get them out there. But when we were kids, in the parking lot, my dad drove an Artex precast van, like a work van. Now a hockey rink, it's just Range Rover City, BMW, Mercedes. You can't play the game in a prominent market in the city, in the GTHL, unless you're loaded. And that's the bottom line.
Well, you know, and again, like I was saying, I think another thing that's changed here is historically you waited for the scouts to find you. Now I think parents are calling scouts. Parents are calling teams, and they have agents, and you've got advisors, and you're demanding that they tell you who's in the stands and teams think. And
it starts at 13 now.
Right.
Have you ever had parents somehow find your contact number and say, hey, what do you think of my kid?
Well, I'm pretty open with the younger kids. Like, when I say younger, 15 years old, and just say, hey, you know, the parents are trying to navigate. I'm trying to be helpful as best that I can. And so, I try to maintain an open dialogue with them, right? But inevitably, Jeff, what happens is that, you know, parents start to see their players in a different light than they're being actually seen as they progress up the pyramid, right? Well, he was a first-round pick. I know. The under-17 camp, they bring in over 100 kids. Every kid there, the 60 of the kids were first-round draft picks. I had in the WHL, the Ontario Hockey League. Well, I know there's 31 teams in the NHL, so right away, 29 of you aren't going to be first-round picks, right? And I haven't included the U.S., Sweden, Finland, Russia, Czech, or any of those. But, like, you try to explain that to them, and I put it in a pyramid, and I said, yeah, you're all been identified as good here. Except up there, that doesn't fit into the top of the pyramid. And that's the reality, but you know what? They're moving along a path. I think the number, based on what I've done with the U17 and just looking at who since they've started it, about 35 to 40 kids out of the over 100 get drafted in the NHL. get drafted.
Right.
That's one birth year across Canada. They've all been the best kids identified. 35 to 40 get drafted.
Mm-hmm. That's 2 years later.
That's it.
Right, exactly. Well, and there's, you know, there's layers to every development. You look at what happened in that basketball game last night. Zion Williamson is at the top. You know, he's at a different level.
Not the best advertisement for Nike.
That one stung. Did you see that their stock lost $1.12 billion today? Now, it's such a massive stock, it'll, you know, it fluctuates. It'll
go up again.
Lost some
money, too, when Kaepernick, and then it rebounded.
And then it rebounded quickly. And now a lot of people are like, this is all, like, people are convinced Zion Williamson isn't going to sign with Nike. I think it's even more likely to happen because they're going to pay him even more. And then it becomes a redemption story. I've got my own shoe now that never
I can already see the commercial. It broke once. It'll never break again.
Well, this is the crazy thing about, like, basketball.
You can break the shoe. You can't break me.
Paul George, he was wearing Paul George's shoe. George was asked about it today at practice, at shoot around, like, basically getting grilled. How do you explain what the hell happened to your shoe last night? And to his credit, he said he actually reached out to Nike because he was worried about the backlash he was going to receive. Because people are being idiots, of course, and losing it on him as if he's the one that manufactured the shoe. He just puts his name on it.
I think at the end of the day, you just got a big, powerful athlete that blew a shoe up. End of story.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do when a player loses a blade and we see him trying to go off the ice on Wednesday? We're going to start to say, don't buy that brand of skates because it's faulty? I mean, I agree with you, Jeff. It's just, it was one of those freak things.
Well, it was a perfect storm of ESPN, Duke, North Carolina, Zion Williamson, social media. I mean, that's the era live in now.
They lost the game afterwards.
Right, exactly.
You put it all together and you've got an absolute, you know what?
It's a monster. It's the biggest story in America today is what's going to happen with this guy now. Should he ever play again? You know, would you come back on what is believed to be a sprained MCL? He should be back in time for the tournament, which is only a few weeks away, but it's split. You know, it's a polarizing topic.
Is it true that Barack Obama put out a tweet that said hashtag fake shoes?
I don't think he did, but he was there. Did you see him there last night?
I know he was there.
Actually, if
there is a tweet that has Barack Obama. He's like, his shoe fell off.
Yeah, it's a really cool vine of him, like, basically reacting like anybody else would in that seat. But like, hey, his shoe just blew up. But he would be a supporter, I think, of the alumni jacket. Did you see the jacket that Obama was wearing last night?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was just a black bomber jacket.
Number 44. Which he was the 44th president. That's an alumni jacket type of maneuver.
That's a veteran move.
Do you really need to wear 44? We know who you are. Like,
somebody
we know
probably
it's Obama.
Gave it to him, though, right?
It was a great looking jacket.
Oh, it was awesome.
I'll bet you that jacket costs. How much would that cost if he signed that and put it up for auction?
$25,000.
Oh, no, million.
Yeah, I think
million,
more than
million
that.
Million plus.
Yeah.
Somebody would. To get a jacket of the 44th president of the United States, somebody would pay.
Like, that's
over
authentic. There's only one guy in the world that can get that jacket.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's him. And if it's the jacket he was wearing at the Cameron House last night, we're watching that game. Courtside.
Oh, yeah.
It's Cameron Indoor. Don't call it the Cameron House.
Cameron Indoor. My bad.
So are you suggesting that the Leafs alumni jacket should have the number on the sleeve?
It's actually not a bad idea. If you had 92 on that.
Well, I was a little disappointed. I saw Rick Vive the last time I was there, and he flashed his inside, said Rick Vive, like Leafs, and he's like, maybe it's only for captains.
I like that.
That was a kick in the pills. All right, I don't get that.
Good for him.
The jabs continue on right after
they never
finish playing, do they?
They never stop. James Duthie will be in studio, Trade Center on Monday. We're looking forward to that. Everyone's geared up for what's going to happen between now and Monday. And there's some news, Bobby Mack tweeting about this in the past hour, about what could be happening in this Ottawa game tonight. They're down in Jersey. That's where Noodles is calling that game. We'll get you that update. We'll tee up the Leaf game. James Duthie in studio next. All right, Ray Ferraro coming up just after 5. Ray will be live at Scotiabank ahead of the game tonight. You can watch it on TSN 4.
I got a question for Mark. Are you going to the Stones concert on June 29th?
I am not, unfortunately.
Oh, I'll be there. I'll miss you.
You're going to that?
Think of me, Craig. Think of me.
I'll think of you.
Well, it's Mullen's birthday today, actually.
Is it? Happy birthday, Mark.
Oh, thank you.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
I think we celebrated
out of my prime
a week ago today.
We did.
Why, are you in your 30s now?
31.
31 years old.
Officially out of my prime.
All grown up.
Yeah.
Do you have any dreams that you're trying to hang on to?
Not really.
No. See, there you go. See, there's a statute
just
of limits
to get off the show somehow. That's his dream.
Yeah, be able to work permanently in Oshawa.
Would maybe be nice.
Be a general. We get you a general for a day type of routine. You drop the puck or something like that.
Maybe he could come around and skate during the, like when the guys come out on the ice at the beginning.
Wouldn't that be
game?
Hilarious?
With the Timbits?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be great with a flag.
I did that as a kid. Yes.
Do you know how much better it would be if it was grown men doing that? Yeah. How much more fun that would be?
Who were the players, Mark? What era were you in?
I can't even remember. It was like
it's probably
Mark
me.
Recchi and like, yeah, that was way back.
Yeah. Probably me, a healthy scratch up in the stands. Hey, there's Mullen. I would love to see that. Timbits, full-blown men. Just grown men in their mid-50s.
Yeah, like a beer league game.
I would support that. James Duthie, the host of Trade Center in studio. Is that kind of putting the cart before the horse? Because you're going to be hosting the game tonight as well on TSN 4.
True. I guess it depends what your priorities are. If you're an Ottawa Senators, Winnipeg Jets fan, Nashville, you probably want to care about the Trade Center. If you're a Leafs fan, not so much, right?
I guess so.
Care about Ovi and the Caps.
Right. What's your routine like leading up to Trade Center?
If you saw what was in my dressing room right now and what the scene that went on about an hour ago...
You'd be arrested. You would be.
No, it's not that. It's just... I don't really want to... I have like a giant giraffe... In my dressing room.
It's just stuffed, right? It's
not a live one. Rod Smith was down there in a get-up. I don't even know where to start. I guess I can't give it away because it's Trade Center, you know. But, it's good. It's all good. It's going to be fun. You know, I've said openly for the last 5 years that I came to dread this day because it's the only show on television that is hyped more every year and usually delivers less. And I don't mind saying that. I said it to my bosses. They know that. This is the first year. This is the best talent at the top available that we've ever had. Do you remember a year with better?
I don't.
Last year, number three on our trade bait list was Mike Green. And no offense to Mike Green, but an aging defenseman who could give a little bit of help maybe to somebody. And this year right now, number three on our trade bait list is Mark Stone. I mean, it's just night and day from what we've seen the last four or five years.
It is night and day, but we've also pumped up a lot of things going to happen on Trade Center Day.
No, I think
they don't happen.
No, I think that there's a decent chance, like if Stone and Duchesne are going, that they'll probably go on the weekend or something, that nobody likes to leave it till the last second. Although Dorian's a little bit different than some of these guys. So, I mean, that's the biggest problem we've had with Trade Center the last few years is GMs got smart. And I've always said, to me, the TSN turning point was the day that Ryan Smith was traded to the Islanders because he didn't want to get traded and the Oilers didn't want to trade him, but they both waited so long and suddenly it was, almost 3 o'clock and they had to do something and they were a couple hundred grand apart and boom, he got traded and then he's in tears and the Oilers aren't happy. And I think after that, GMs got smart and most of the big deals were done a week before, or 2 weeks before. And so I'm hoping Pierre Dorion can hold off a little bit.
Well, Bob McKenzie was tweeting in the past hour that unless something gets done here contractually with Dzingel and Stone, he'd be shocked if they're playing tonight. We're all working under the assumption that Duchesne will not be playing.
If they trade all of those three guys,
One of the worst rosters?
It's apocalyptic as far as the fan base. I'm not saying like if they got a lot back, there's still potential future in Ottawa. But the message that sends to the fan base after losing Carlson to trade your top three scorers is, I don't know how you come back from that.
James, well, here's what I would say, though.
Nobody wants to play there.
They're the 31st place team in the league with these guys.
Nobody wants to play there because they don't trust the owner. I don't agree that nobody wants to play there, And I talked to players last night who actually think the room is much better this year. The kids are good. There's hope there. But if they trade these three guys, the rebuild's going to be 4 or 5 years. And your statement is accurate only in the sense that nobody believes that the owner will spend the money that he's promising to spend. Nothing wrong with the city, the franchise, some of the young players they have there, but nobody believes the owner. They all stood and watched his speech when he was in Toronto a few weeks ago, and they were mandated to attend the speech, and I just think that, and you know what? Eugene could be sincere. He could. Maybe he's telling the truth that wants to spend to the cap.
How do you?
But the problem is people don't believe him, and that's the biggest issue he has. And if Stone leaves, That's the only reason he's leaving. That's a guy who wanted to stay. Duchesne wanted to stay. The only reason they're leaving is they don't believe that the owner and the GM can pull off what they say they're going to pull off. And if that's the case, where do you go? Where do you go after this?
Well, and who are you spending
young,
that money
innocent,
on?
Young, innocent, naive kids.
Yeah.
That's where you go.
You do, but then when they come around and, I mean, you have them under control for a while. And if you got a lot back in the trades, I mean, I suppose you have a potential to have a really good team in 4 or 5 years. But again, this fan base is going to be like, why am I buying a ticket for?
Here's the thing. They're not going to get a better trade than what they got for Carlson. So, and I don't think they got enough for Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
Carlson had a year left on his deal at 6.5.
Yeah, it was a summer trade where you usually get more.
These guys are UFAs at the end of the year. Why would, and if you're in Ottawa, why would you be thinking these are going to be blockbuster trades that all of a sudden set you
down? Well, Mark Stone could fetch you a lot.
As much as Carlson, though?
No.
He should.
For a rental, no, but that's as good a rental as you can possibly get, right?
Really quality player.
Yeah.
But you would have to hope that if Mark Stone is being traded, that Pierre's engaging with teams that are looking to sign him for a longer term deal to try to, and then therefore the return becomes greater.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Ideally,
yeah. Same
and
with
that's
Duchesne.
Why you got to make a decision here so you can so the agent and those teams can talk it over the next 3 or 4 days.
Duchesne's building a house in Nashville. You know, everybody in Ottawa is freaking out over that. I don't really think it's anything. I think he planned it for a year. He does the country music, and I think Nashville's an exploding city. It would be a nice place to have a home. A lot of NHL players have multiple homes. But that's a place where I'm sure he'd be happy to sign if you could do something like that, right? But I don't know what goes the other way, Kyle Turris.
Yeah. No kidding.
Ooh.
But it just, without this pick, too, that would be the one element of hope.
That
would be the one
them.
Element of hope. Is that, okay, we're the worst team in the league and all these guys are going, but there's a real good chance we're getting Jack Hughes.
Right.
And you're not getting him.
Or are you getting
Kaapo
Kakko with the first pick, Craig Button?
Let me ask you this, James. Hypothetical for the podcast.
We always support that.
Harper Boots podcast. If the Edmonton Oilers won the lottery, would they draft Jack Hughes? Another center?
Of course they
I don't
would.
Think they can't. There's
Kakko's getting pretty close to him, isn't he?
Well, I mean, he's a good player. He's a really good player.
But
they can't draft Kakko. They can't draft Hughes, can they? That's the hypothetical. That's for you and Puff to determine.
Okay, so if we're Edmonton, we'll trade you the pick, which is Jack Hughes, but you also have to take Lucic, and you have to give us back eight good pieces.
Well, maybe that's what you got to do. Maybe that's the way out of cap hell.
Yeah, maybe.
But they got McDavid, Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins as their only three forwards, and they're all centers. They're going to draft another one?
Billy D, our producer, just was throwing out hypotheticals in our meeting and said, okay, if you're Colorado, would you take Stone, Duchesne, and Dzingel? Would you give Ottawa back its pick and something else?
It's actually a good question.
You'd have to get more than just the pick back if you gave them Stone, Duchesne, and Dzingel.
Yeah, you need the defenseman.
You can get Shane Bowen
but the fact
back.
That that's even being asked, it's just, it's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
But the fact that Ottawa is the center of the universe kind of for the second straight trade center after Carlson is, but for all the wrong reasons, unfortunately.
Right.
Well, and I always wonder if your boy Dubas is going to be, you know, if there's anything percolating beyond, you know, if there's any, they're so quiet now, which is always interesting. And I always wonder if there's something bigger than some minor move for a depth defenseman or whatever it may be. I have no idea.
Is that a tease for?
No, that's not a tease. I'm just trying to hype Trade Center and lie to people.
Well, I mean, would it shock anybody? It shouldn't. The Leafs consider themselves in cup contention. Look at Boston; they won again last night.
Yeah, you wouldn't be shocked if something came out and they got some.
They better be. You know, you better be trying to improve your team. It doesn't mean it has to happen or you want to pay the price. But if you're not inquiring, then what the hell are you doing?
Are you trying to build your team now to beat Boston because it's so obvious they're playing them? Can you do that? Do you actually have to respond to a Charlie Coyle trade?
We talked about that.
You don't, right?
No.
We were talking like Charlie Coyle. You don't go out and get some big grinder in the playoffs. Austin Matthews has got to go in the corner and beat Zdeno Chara to pucks. John Tavares has got to probably outplay Patrice Bergeron.
I agree 100%.
Like, don't try to go out and say, oh, they got that, so I got to go get this. If you want to make a move to make a team better, that makes sense, but that's what's got to happen. Mm-hmm. You got these star players, guys that want to be paid a lot of money. Go out and play like it.
Remember 2007? Anaheim won the cup. They beat Detroit in the conference final. And Brian Burke said after they won the cup, this is the way the game's going. Everybody's going to get big. It's a copycat league. The Detroit Red Wings never wavered. You know who was the coach of that team? Mike Babcock. They came back the next year and they won the cup. To your guy's point, be the best you can be as who you are. Because you know what? When you don't have Pronger, you don't have that team, like, go and be.
Plus, you can't just play for Boston.
Right.
If your goal is to win the Stanley Cup, yes, you have to get out of the first round. But you can't like make two moves just for Boston, and then you suddenly have Tampa one round later. I agree with you guys. It doesn't make any sense. But I hear people talking that way.
Well, so who do you want in the net, Anderson or Rask? I'm taking Freddie Anderson.
Yeah.
Morgan Rielly or any defenseman on Boston? Who's got three better centermen than Toronto?
Yeah, in the end, it's all about it's all about just stopping the friggin' Pasternak.
Right.
Marchand line, and I guess that's on Nas. And they didn't do it last year. But
well, Auston Matthews has to be significantly better than he was a year ago. Mm-hmm. And so does William Nylander. And Freddie Anderson has to be better, too. He didn't have a good enough first round.
Right.
But, you know, it's
they're
it's
all about, a year older. They should be better.
Right, they should be. And you have to strengthen your strength, I think is what we're saying. It's not only about acquiring pieces where maybe the weaknesses start to disappear a little bit more. If you can strengthen on top of a strength, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think when you look at the path, 1-2-3, this is the toughest top three in the league of any division. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's really that close. I mean, Winnipeg and Nashville are great. Number three is miles behind where the Leafs would be right now. And the Pacific, the same thing. San Jose and Calgary, really good teams. Vegas is not anywhere close to what Toronto represents. So I think it's just an element of truth. You're looking at it, you're like, you got to go through Boston and Tampa, and then you're only halfway home. Halfway home if you somehow find a way to win those two series. But that's a tough path.
But
man.
Going and back to what you're talking about, despite what's happened in the regular season games, okay, what's different from last year? Well, you got a younger team that should be more experienced. You have John Tavares. They have Charlie Coyle, and I'm trying to, who else has Boston added? I can't think of anybody of significance. I might be missing somebody. But you should be better. Forget what's happened in the regular season games. Over a 7-game series, you've added John Tavares, plus some others. You know, Muzzin hasn't been great lately, but hopefully come playoff time, you should be better. Mm-hmm. You should win the series. And if you don't win the series, then you have to do the serious navel-gazing, I guess.
I agree, James.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, the growth of Johnsson, growth of Kapanen, growth of Morgan Rielly. Yeah, He's grown year over year.
Yeah, the emergence of Morgan Rielly
right.
is that number one defenseman.
What do you guys make of Nylander playing center tonight? We don't know when Kadri's going to return. He won't return tonight, but Nylander's going to play up the middle, at least for the first shift.
It's we'll the see. Perfect luxury. That's the luxury of William Nylander. He's not a center, but can play center. It's beautiful. That's what you want. That's that's the flexibility
you
that William
Freddie
Nylander
to go tooting around there in the third line?
No, you got to put somebody in there, clearly.
Yeah, and he's the guy to do it.
It's either Nylander, Marlowe's done it in past years. I don't think he can do it anymore.
I don't think he wants to do it. I don't think he should do it.
But I think, you know, to credit William Nylander, we didn't bring this up earlier in the week, but his season has officially started. Like, he's been playing a lot better. He's come alive, and I think this speaks to it. Babcock would not put him in the middle of the ice a month ago. There's no chance.
We did a game a couple weeks ago, and Pooley kept saying, I was giving Pooley a hard time because he kept saying Nylander's really close. And I said, you can't just keep saying that. At some point, he's a goal scorer and playmaker. He's got to do something. And then I went to see a game live on a night off, and I was like, oh, Nylander's really close because he looked like the fastest guy on the ice by far. So I do think you guys are right. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, he's coming alive. So we'll see tonight. Washington is in town, and Carl Hagelin acquired by them. Didn't give up a ton. I mean, Hagelin's a guy with pace, cup experience.
Have you watched him play the last year and a half?
Not in L.A. I haven't watched him play.
Him in Pittsburgh?
Not
basically
anymore,
he's nothing.
Well, they didn't give up anything, so what does it matter? Well, it's a depth move.
You know what you get for nothing? You give up nothing. I think he's got 9 points or something. He's been awful.
So you don't think he's going to add anything? Do you think he'll even play then?
I hope he doesn't turn into this.
18 months. I mean, we're talking 18 months of nothing. Of nothing.
All right. Then why did they acquire him?
Because I think the teams fall in love with what players used to be.
Well, of course. That's not new.
I'd have been going after Trevor Lewis if I were Washington. That's who I would have been going after.
He's
going
to be moved. I mean, that's what it sounds like, right?
Well, I'd be going after him. People better hope that Tampa Bay doesn't pick him up.
I wanted to ask you guys something that we're going to ask on the pregame tonight, and it's something I've avoided talking about for a couple years because people would bring it up and I'd say it's stupid. And it's getting to the point where it's not quite stupid anymore. Do you think Ovi has a shot at Gretzky's goals record? And we're going to lay it out tonight what he exactly has to do. And it's something like this. It's about 7 more years of, it's like 54. Like, let's say it's 54 this year, 41 next year, 39, 36, 33, 32, 30, or something like that. And he passes Gretzky. And that's playing till 40. And you can skew that. I've always argued if he scores like 50 next year and then 50 the year after, if he can continue at a high pace, then suddenly all you have to do is get like 28, 25, 20. Do you think it's... I still don't think it's going to happen, but it's almost a conversation. And the fact that it's almost a conversation is pretty remarkable, mm-hmm. don't you think?
It is remarkable. I think the wheels just fall off sooner or later with that many miles on him.
Mm-hmm.
Big man, physical...
You look at Gretzky. I look at two examples, like Gretzky, you know, who had scored and then it came to an end. Jerome McGinley is the most recent example. You know, big man could shoot the puck and score, and then it just all of a sudden it was like there was nothing left.
Yeah, you turn into a 14 goal scorer. Yeah.
But the only thing I will say, and I know you've just mentioned Gretzky and you've mentioned McGinley, two special guys, but he is a freak.
Oh, I agree.
Like he's 34 and he's missed 14 games or something. So that whole Russian machine don't break down. Like, I could see him having three or four more years in the 40s. Here's, and then you hang on and try and get 20 and 25 or whatever and do it.
One thing you also have to consider is with his stats and his payroll, and he might just say, I don't want to play anymore.
But if he plays for three or four more years and it's within the realm of possibility, that might be enough to convince a guy to chase like three more years. Like that record... I grew up thinking, okay, that's one of the records in sports. And obviously, Gretzky's points record will never get touched. But you looked at the goals and you said, that's impossible. Nobody can score 50 a year for 18 years, mm-hmm. which is what it is when you start out. But I just think it's fascinating that it's even within the realm of conversation right. without being laughable.
It's not inconceivable.
Yeah,
I keep doubting the guy. But I'm like, yeah, this year he scores 38. Mm-hmm. No, he's at 40. I think he's got 42 already.
42. Yeah. He'll be at 55 by the end of it.
You two are probably right, though. They'll probably be, at some point, whether it'll probably be late, like 37 or 38 if he keeps playing. But at some point, it'll just be, he'll have 18 and he'll retire, right?
But you say that, James, but it is a legitimate, it's not ludicrous to talk about
it's not
it anymore.
Insane.
And no, it isn't. And he loves to play.
Yeah.
And you know, one thing that like sits in Ovi's mind to be not the greatest Russian player of all time, but can you imagine if the Russian holds the goal scoring record of all time? Because that would never get broken.
No.
I think one thing that would help his cause, like, it's not out of like the realm of possibility. Like, just get 60 this year.
Right.
He could score 18 more for fun.
Well, and you know what's helped him recently is he's had incredible starts. Incredible. Yes. Remember last year he had like 8 goals in 2 games or something? The first 3 games?
He gets to 10. Yeah. We're in the first week of the season.
Before you know
he's got 30 by Christmas.
Exactly.
But what he's got to do this year, if they don't win the cup, he's got to go on the same regiment in June and July that he did last year, winning the cup.
He plays better with a cup hangover.
Just go jump in tubs.
Yeah.
Roll no around, cup hangover. Drink beers.
Because that was another hurdle. It's like, all right, now shorter off season, hungover for 3 months. No, right back at it. He's going to win a rocket again.
Yeah.
All right, James.
Okay, guys, have a good one.
Okay, see you, James.
There's James Duffy. The Leafs will be on TSN 4 tonight. You can catch James in the panel. And, of course, James will be doing his thing, working his magic on Trade Center. And TSN 1050's Trade Deadline coverage is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealer, Subaru Confidence in Motion. Ray, live from Scotiabank in about 20 minutes. We'll get back into the Zion Williamson story from last night and GSP retiring officially in Montreal. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, race coming up in about 10, 15 minutes. We have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Sabres, February 25th down at Scotiabank. And every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you have the chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, this Maple Leafs career high in points, is 127. This Maple Leafs career high points is 127.
I know exactly who that is.
I know who had that number, but there were other clues that are kind of confusing me here.
Where were you last Thursday?
We were in Las Vegas, Nevada.
You know, they had snow today in Las Vegas.
I heard. And it's happened multiple times recently.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Like, it's completely shut down the whole state. They don't even know how to react.
Well, how would you know?
I guess. Well, we were joking about that. It was 15 and a bit breezy.
Brutal weather.
Down there, full parkas, like toques on, freaking out. 15 and breezy. We're out there in T-shirts.
Enjoying it.
Yeah. We're like, this is incredible. What an upgrade for us. And they're having a complete meltdown in Vegas.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll get to our final bromance for a pair of tickets to the game tomorrow night. The Spurs are officially here, and the Raptors and the Spurs are currently holding press conferences downtown. So we're going to try to find some audio on that from DeMar and from Kawhi. We're trying to catch up. We can't confirm or deny, but Dwayne Casey may be on the show this afternoon. Trying to connect with Dwayne Casey.
Hazy B?
Hazy B and Dwayne Casey could be reuniting around 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. So make sure you tune in for that. We'll get into the Raptors and their game tomorrow night. We'll get into the Maple Leaf game tonight. Puck drop at 7 p.m. You can watch it on TSN 4. Ray will be down at Scotiabank, and he will join us next.